Well, happy Thursday, and it is a beautiful Thursday in North Florida and South Georgia with the sun overhead and the birds singing and the, well, the grass isn't exactly growing. We'll have to wait till spring for that. But still, a little bit of fall in the air, and you are in tune to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, and if you want to join the conversation, you are always most welcome at 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809 for long distance, perspectives at WFSU.org for email, and Twitter communications can be levied at WFSU Perspective. Well, it's long been an article of faith in this country that local governments are closest to the people and therefore the best governments. You've probably heard that a whole bunch of times. But in recent years, a number of states, including Florida, have kind of been taking issue with this old conventional wisdom. And instead, there has been a trend to consolidate power in state houses, where lawmakers say this would make life simpler for, let's say, businesses who would not have to deal with different and even sometimes conflicting regulations and ordinances imposed by towns and counties. And advocates also contend this helps citizens by reining in what are perceived to be occasional abuses and corruption and that kind of thing on the part of local elected officials who may be seduced, they say, by the siren song of special interest, something that, of course, never happens at the state capitol. But now, in advance of a Florida lawmaking session, which will kick in January, during which additional restrictions on local government authority and autonomy may be in the works. We'll talk about it all this morning with first Leon County Commissioner Brian DeLoge, also coming off of an entire year there in a national position with the Association of Counties. And good to see you in town, sir.
Thanks. Great to be home for a little while.
Yeah. When do you ship out next, Brian?
Next week.
Oh, good Lord. Have you figured out how much mileage you have logged since you've had this?
A lot. It's been a rocket ship ride for the last 18 months. So it's slowing down a little bit, but not as much as I had hoped for.
Well, that also gives you a really nice 30,000-foot overview of what's going on, not just in Florida, but elsewhere. And we can talk about that,
absolutely,
too, if you'd like. Okay. Right to the right of you, Tallahassee City Commissioner, although not necessarily politically, but Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer joins us today. And
probably not.
And also a candidate for mayor of Tallahassee now.
And the current incoming president of Florida League of Cities.
Already president.
Already president
of Florida League of Cities, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to follow my big brother's footsteps over here. Maybe not quite that far, but certainly from city standpoint. And as a result, that's why I'm here, to talk about why cities are important.
And also that statewide perspective as to what maybe some of your colleagues and other municipal governments around the state may be saying. Well, we don't want to speak ill of the legislature without having a member of the legislature here with us to speak ill of in person, if that be the want of the gathered multitudes here. This is State Senator for District 3, Bill Montford, longtime educator, head of the School Superintendents Association. And my gosh, you were elected first to the legislature way back
in 2010. Yeah, I thought you were going to go way farther back than that.
County commission, wasn't it?
The best job you ever had was county commission, though, wasn't it?
The best job I ever had was being a high school principal.
I agree with you.
It will kill you, but it's a good job. But you know what? I mean, I'm honored to sit here with the two guys. You got the outgoing president of National Association, the president of Florida League of Cities, and here, this little boy from Lunchtown, just trying to catch up, stay up with these guys.
Yeah, right.
Trying to learn from them.
But you make a good point that we're just sitting around because the three of us know each other. And as a result, we can actually work together.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we keep talking about more and more, and that is everybody staying in their lanes and working together to solve problems.
Yeah. Well, being here in Tallahassee, of course, everyone has seen this up front and personal. And I can recall the day just in covering the legislature, when after a day of shrieking at each other in chambers, but always in a very polite fashion, you would have folks like rock-ribbed conservative Republican Jim King of Jacksonville and a fellow by the name of Ron Silver, a bluest of blue state Democrats from South Florida, disagreeing all over the place. And as soon as like 5:30 during session would roll around, we would adjourn to the committee room that was known as Clyde's and Costello's, where the discussion would continue, but in a much more, shall we say, convivial fashion. And these guys would wind up maybe slightly tipsy, but that's okay, with their arms around each other by the end of the night saying, I really respect this guy who I'm with, even though we may disagree politically and we can work out compromises and get along. Do we see as much of that today, well, or is that gone?
I think we're lucky to have Senator Montford because he's the first we've had in a while as a minority party Democrat in a Republican-controlled Senate where, I mean, I talk to the leadership over there all the time. They think the world of him. They respect him. They believe, I mean, there's a lot of trust and there's a lot of camaraderie. Doesn't mean they agree on everything, but they've got a good working relationship, at least from my perspective in the Senate.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. And but I think if you go back 25 years and you took a snapshot, it's different then than it is today. And there's a lot of reasons for that, I think. One, it's a gift ban. I mean, we can't put all the blame on that. But I just think in general sometimes, and it's at the national level too, I think people now have a tendency to draw in their own corner and say, this is my position and I'm not considering anything else. And that's what's hurting us today. I think sometimes we put a stake in the ground and we refuse to consider any other position out there. And that's what we need desperately now, is the ability to be able to say, you know, I may not be right all the time. And there are different views. If you take, for example, I have 11 counties. And if you take my 11 counties, and there are three senators in North Florida, and there are six in Miami-Dade alone, and everybody gets one vote. So for those of us up here, we've got to be able to work across party lines, and we have to be able to say there are different views on issues. If you look at the diversity of the state, if you take Liberty County, for example, 64% of their property is off the tax roll, and one mill over there raises less than $400,000. And if you take Orange or any of those other counties in Mid and South Florida, the budget is entirely different. But I go back to the same point, and that is we've got to be able to talk not only across party lines, but we've got to be able to talk across lines that exemplify the diversity of the state.
Okay, well, but you also have diversity when it comes to forms of governance, and that mantra we talked about at the beginning of the program, where that government that is closest to the people is best. If I have a pothole at the end of my street and I'm at Publix on Sunday morning and I run into Mary Ann Lindley, County Commissioner, I say, Mary Ann, will someone please do something about this? And there's a good likelihood that's going to get fixed. Sometimes, as accessible as you are, Senator Montford, sometimes you can't get to your state representative or senator that fast to have things done, and it may not even be in their wheelhouse. So what do you do?
Well, I want to expand just for a second on what Senator Montford was saying, and that is on a local level, we're all nonpartisan. You know, county commission is nonpartisan, city commission is nonpartisan. And so those R and D labels, the left and the right, the conservative, the liberal, those labels typically don't get in the way. Unfortunately, that's something on a state level, on a national level, elected officials have to deal with. It makes it easier for us to be more collegial. It makes it easier for us to have, I think, broader discussions. Not to say that our different beliefs don't come into play, but we're not forced to fall into this position. I give Senator Montford great credit because that's something that you don't do. And as a result of that, you're able to reach across party lines. So you're extremely generous when you talk about the ability to do that, but that's basically because you're that kind of person. And for that, we're very fortunate to have you there.
A lot of this sounds like a commercial for Village Square, though, doesn't it? It's interesting. Well, your comments earlier about, you know, we need to have that kind of civil discussion that's kind of lost today. And like you said, Senator, everybody comes from a different world, and you make decisions based on the lens you see the world through, based on your life, your growing up and your school and your peers. And, you know, and it doesn't make you right or wrong or good or bad. It just means that's how you make a decision. And yet, too often, I think people, you know, villainize each other because of the fact that there's a difference of opinion. But
well, is there a national, especially for you, Commissioner DeLoge, since you've been in that position for the past year, is there a national push to kind of de-autonomize local governments and pull more power into state government?
Yeah, absolutely. And at the state level around around the country, you see a lot of what's happening where they limit the amount of local government's ability to raise any kind of taxes, and then they basically – the downside and the upside. They take away our revenue and they limit our income effectively, or take away our ability to expense. I tell you, there's a place for local government, cities, county schools, and there's a place for the state, and there's a place for the federal government. I testified at the Capitol about a month ago in front of Ryan and Pelosi on intergovernmental, coordination effectively, and we talked about that. I mean, everybody plays a role, but it's as Gil said earlier, you stay in your swim lane, and hopefully you do that. And we have some desperate needs for state regulations in some areas, but they're oftentimes they're overstepped their boundary, in our opinion.
And unfortunately, more from the House side, there is, and it's been publicly stated by many in leadership and leadership to come, that most of our large cities are blue. They're at least from a perception standpoint, lean more on the Democratic side, even though we're nonpartisan. And the state legislature is not. It's more red, particularly our leadership. And as a result of that, there is, I think, a general effort, and it's been spoken by them, to dictate down because they know better. And that's getting out of that lane that we keep talking about, staying in your lanes. People move to different cities or counties or regions of the state because they want to be there. There are these old migration patterns that historically still hold true. I mean, upwards of 100 years ago, if you were from the Northeast, you moved to the Southeast Florida. If you were from the Midwest, you moved to Southwest Florida. And if you were from the Southeast, you moved to North Florida, because those were areas you felt comfortable in. Well, the same thing holds for cities and counties. You move to where you're comfortable, whether it's your big believer in being near the coast, or maybe it's culture and the arts, or maybe it's something else. But you move to that city or that county because it's what you like, which makes us different, which is why it's important for everybody, once again, to stay in their lanes, because not all cities are created the same. They're different, and that's why people move to different areas. We want to be able to maintain that individuality, and the only way to do that, whether you want to call it home rule or local control or whatever, two words, three words you want to put together. But it's democracy at its very basic level, which is on a local level. And that's what we need to maintain. And sometimes some leadership, particularly on the House side, is coming after us to remove that ability. And we're going to fight it.
Well, we need to hear from someone on the Senate side, and we'll do that in just a moment after this upcoming time out here on Perspectives. We are talking about local government autonomy and authority and what's going on in the legislature when it comes to that. And we have with us State Senator for District 3, Bill Monford, Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, and Leon County Commissioner Brian DeLoche here with us on Perspectives. And you are invited to the party as well. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809 of long distance. And we'll be right back. Perspectives, and it's something that folks, that's just for wonks, the people who are really just overdosing on government all the time. But when it comes to the impact of local government on our lives, there are arguably a lot more immediate effects that you are going to see day to day in what happens to you and your family and your situation in life than perhaps what comes out of Tallahassee, as wonderful as our town is, insofar as state government is concerned, and certainly more than the federal government. And I got to ask, go around the table real quick, are we too much obsessing on the national thing right now? The president said this, and Nancy Pelosi said that, and everyone's yelling at each other and throwing brick brats on Facebook and whatever else, when really that is so far removed from where most of us live, Senator?
But Tom, the problem, though, is that what happened at the national level has so much of an impact on us. When you're really talking about our conflicts with other countries, North Korea or whatever, whoever that might be out there, the Iran deal. When you talk about that, we're talking about you know, our safety and welfare at the local level. I mean, you can't underestimate the importance of what's going on at the national level. And what's scary is I'm not sure I've ever seen at the national level such animosity among the leaders. I mean, it's not a way to run a government. It's not a way to run a business. If you ran a business, the way we're running the government would be bankrupt. You simply cannot ignore the importance of what's going on at the national level, and the tone of the discourse is what's alarming.
Mm-hmm. And are we seeing that kind of devolve down into, well, last year, we have a Republican governor. We have a predominantly Republican House and Senate in the legislature, and yet there was an awful lot of disagreement between the House and the Senate and amongst the leaders, and the governor got involved in that, and he was friends with Corcoran and then friends with Negron, and they're all over the place. And meanwhile, Democrats like you, Senator, were kind of, you know, saying, well, look, we'll be down in the cafeteria having some coffee. If you need us for a quorum call, give us a yell. We'll come up and help you. But otherwise, we're kind of out of this.
Well, I think the issue is, and I don't want to downplay the importance of parties, but it's more of philosophy is the issue to me. You know, if you look at what's happening last year at the state level, the Republicans themselves are, you know, can't agree. And it's the same thing at the national level. So, but it's not it's not necessarily a party issue. It is a deep-seated belief in, or commitment to your belief and the inability to be able to say there may be another side to this issue. I think that's what we're missing, is the willingness for people to step up and say, yeah, maybe I'm not 100% right here, and maybe I do have to give somewhat here for the better, for the good of the whole. I think that's what we're missing. And I don't want to get off on a tangent, but if we're not careful about who we elect to office, we're going to be, I think, in even more trouble. The question is, why would bright young people want to enter public service now, especially in an elected office, and not just at the national level, but national, state, and local? It's not as appealing as it used to be for young people to make a life commitment, a family commitment, if you will, to get into that fray. It's almost, I wouldn't say distasteful, but it's not like it used to be, and I hate to say that. But it's the question is, how do we get bright young people to enter government and public service work and serve in elected offices when we make it very difficult to survive in it?
Mm-hmm. And as I believe, well, Commissioner Ziffer, you have seen an increase in the number of personal attacks. It's not just, well, I disagree with Gill when it comes to tax policy or do we need more sidewalks or anything else. But when it gets into this personal thing, why would anyone jump into a political contest if they're going to essentially be savaged?
I don't think the three of us, I can't speak for the two of you, but the 8 years that I've spent in public office as a public servant are 8 of the best years of my life. I love helping people and solving problems. And there's, for me at least, there's no better place to do that than on a local level. So, yes, there's a lot of difficulties with it. And yes, every time I come home, my wife, who, you know, from a partner standpoint, your spouse is extremely important because it bothers them more when you get a personal attack on you. But there's no better thing to do. So I would urge, you know, young people, please consider it, because it's a great opportunity to really make a difference, to help people. And I want to expand on that just for a second, which is one of the things that you can do, which is very different from what you do in a state legislature and locally. We can make decisions like next Wednesday. We're going to have a conversation about different things that will go into effect right away. We had not too long ago, some people came to me because there were problems with young people driving their cars after 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe they had a little too much to drink, but they drove their cars home because their cars were going to get towed. And so we were very quickly able to pass an ordinance that restricted towing from 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. You couldn't tow from these if you served alcoholic beverage between those hours. So the young people felt comfortable if they had too much to drink to get an Uber or wherever and go home. That's something we can do. Now, that may not be something Miami wants to do. That may not be something Tampa wants to do, but it's something Tallahassee wants to do, which goes back to that home rule thing, because we have 70,000-plus students, and we need to think about things like that. But those are things that we get to solve locally. For me, local government is the best place in the world to be. Senator does a great job, and he's had the taste of all of them. So maybe he can expand on where the best place to be. But for me, I just love where I am, and I would highly advise people, even with the tenor, and even with all of the comments and the accusations, it's still a great place to be.
Okay, so Commissioner DeLoge, how do you make that argument, especially to folks in the legislature who might say, okay, I run a business, all right, and I am operating across every part of Florida, and it is just driving me crazy to have a different regulation and way of approaching things in Pensacola, from Miami, from Ocoee, to every place. God, it costs all this money, and please, legislature, we need relief. One set of regulations statewide, and I'm a happy camper.
And we're good with them setting base levels or starting the I gave a great example. We had a discussion a couple years ago about handicapped access to gas pumps, okay? And it was very deep and in depth, and it took me a long time to get there. In fact, I voted against it when it originally went through. And the idea was, if you're handicapped, instead of beeping your horn, there's a way to actually communicate with the person at the gas station, only certain gas stations. And we had, you know, we were going to ask the gas stations to outfit them with the handicap piece. We made that decision locally here because we felt like it was appropriate. And then the state, the legislature turned around and said, no, we're going to preempt and disallow you from doing that. All right. We decided that this was in our best interest. I understand if the state wants to say, here's a minimum. And the big argument recently was Lyft and Uber and the, you know, and I think it's appropriate for the state to say, if you are a driving in our state for a fee, whether you're a cab, whether you're Lyft, whether you're Uber, there's a meets minimum type of standard. And then if the local government, whether that be city or county, say, we don't think that's enough and we're willing to take the heat to rise it to a different level, that's kind of working together. What the rub for us oftentimes is when they come in and say, you can't do that unilaterally. If I'm in the case of the handicap gas station, I went down and testified in front of the House and Senate and said, you know, we made a decision. We're willing to take the political heat here locally. I voted against it in my body, but I went down and said, we'd like the ability to do that in our local community. And for you to preempt us completely negates anything that our ability to do things.
We're joined by Bill on line one here on Perspectives as we talk about local government authority and autonomy and all that kind of good stuff. Hello, Bill. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, we're doing well. Thanks for calling.
Good, good. Thank you. I have a slightly different perspective in terms of problem solving at the local level. It seems to me that there's a historical legacy of not addressing the issues of certain parts of the local community here. On Monday, it was the funeral of James Ford, who in 1971 was the first African-American elected to local office since Reconstruction. And I'm wondering, with all of the violence and gentrification that is going on in the African-American community, how can we get local government to be responsive? I know the current president of the county commission, Bill Proctor, raised some issues, but I mean, he doesn't have much integrity in my mind.
Well, let's talk about what do you do as far as responding to those kinds of things are concerned on the local level, because remember we had to go back in the days of segregation all the way to a federal court ruling to start unraveling that whole mess. So how does local government then step into the breach, whether it's acknowledging things like the crime situation that I know city, county commission and state government's going to be wrestling with here?
And I'll try and paint the picture if I can, the visual, because somebody showed this to me not too long ago. And it had to do with equality versus equity. And it was two fruit trees with families underneath them. The point is that one family had to reach further to get to a piece of fruit than the other side. Equality is giving in the same size bench. Well, the one family still can't reach the fruit and the other one can reach it. Equity is doing more where you need to do more to raise that family so everybody has an opportunity to have the fruit. There are things, former superintendent and senator and I have spoken about, and he's been very helpful. For example, in our schools down there, education throughout, and this is out of my lane a little bit, but our current superintendent is behind this 100% now. We need to do more in some of our schools in our south side because healthcare is not the same throughout our community. The availability of food is not the same throughout our community. So these community school concepts we've been pushing, it looks like we're going to finally have one at Sable Palm. And the idea is to have wraparound services so that young people, when they come there, they can come to learn because they've got food in their stomach and they've been able to deal with health care and mental health and whatever the concerns there are. By doing that and doing other things like that, then I think we can help some of these communities where we clearly have crime issues and we have issues where we have low or high unemployment, because we need to give young people particularly an opportunity to be equal footing with everyone else in our community. There's a food desert on some level, and those are things that we, I think, as local governments will be focusing a lot more on, at least I am. We're talking about now, for example, blight is a big word. I know the CRA will come up in conversation. I've asked on our next agenda November 9th to have a conversation about providing money because we have a lot of houses in certain areas that should be demolished, and homeowners are willing to have them demolished, but they can't afford to have that happen. So the CRA could provide those funds to make that happen. You remove blighted areas, you can start to have hopefully redevelopment, you have more presence of community policing, and you can start to make a change. But those are things we need to do quicker, and we need to be more focused, and I think you're going to see a lot more of that.
Okay, but you also can't do that just on the city level. You also have to do it on the county.
Absolutely. Commissioner
DeLoge, yeah. You guys got to coordinate that response.
Oh, yeah. Right? No. And let me turn the discussion a little bit here. So you mentioned crime earlier today. It's a problem in our community. We can dress it up any way we want. We can talk to a lot of different things. There's some issues going on. We need to address them. You talked earlier about why would people run today? And there's a medium step there. It's representative democracy. And so it's easy to sit on the sidelines and say, why isn't this fixed? And I'm not trying to pick on the prior caller, but it's tougher to get engaged. And running for office is not for everybody. And I teach part-time sometimes out at university, and I ask the kids all the time, how many of you registered to vote? 100%, almost always. They do a good job of getting people registered. How many of you vote? It's usually less than a third. And then you start to talk about, well, in my opinion, the rest of you that don't vote, you lose all rights to any ability to complain. So people really – we got committees to serve on. We don't have all the answers. And if you expect those of us who are elected to sit up on high and somehow legislate and figure out the answers to everything – it's not going to happen. And so we need more people not only to run for office but to engage at the community level from a citizen level, whether that's neighborhood groups or whether that's committees that they serve on, and help us with these problems. We're not going to solve these by ourselves. And we desperately need to do a better job as well of getting more people interested in public service.
Okay, but then Senator Monford, doesn't that kind of turn the question on, well, if these guys are struggling with this and need help and all that, let the legislature handle it.
Well, that's a pretty big leap. I'm not sure we'd want to get into their business. They're local elected officials, and they can be held accountable for that. But I think the bigger issue is, and again, to me, it goes back to being able to have a working relationship between the government level. If you look among the state and local government, city and county and so on, we need more discussions like we're having here today. And it's easy. It is easy to sit in the Florida legislature and make decisions if you have a limited amount of information. And unfortunately, sometimes that happens. If you look at the core root problems is what we at the state level need to look at. And I don't want to talk too much, about education, but why do we have children going to school today within walking distance of where we sit hungry or needing medical care? That's the issue. We sometimes we get blinded by by looking too deep into some issues, and we miss the bigger picture. The bigger picture here is we have people living in poverty. We have 1 million people in this state without health coverage, half of which whom are children. There's absolutely no reason that we should have children who worry on Fridays about what they're going to eat over the weekend. We were in a rural county a couple of days ago, and at a Boys and Girls Club, and I asked the lady, I said, if you could do one thing to help the children, what would you need? And sadly, she said, more food. If we had more food for the children, because they pick up food that's left on the table, carrots is for some reason what she mentioned, to take home. You know, and so to me, our job at the state is we need to look at the state from a broader perspective. What are the really fundamental issues that are facing the people of Florida? Hunger, unemployment, and lack of adequate health care. I think those are the issues that we need to focus on at the state level, and we need to be able to work with our counterparts at local government.
And then just by saying that, those are things that Commissioner Deloge and I need help with on a local level. So those are those things staying in your lanes. And to add on to your comment, for us as the League of Cities, one thing we're focusing on, and we have in the past but really focusing this year, is having these conversations right now with our legislators back home, so that we can take them on tours of, you know, some of the things they need to see and give them a better understanding of what we're having to face, so then when they come back up here, they can work better together because they have a better understanding of exactly what's going on back at home. The big free thing for the legislature is, and Senator Montford is one that, as we said earlier, works with everyone, and that is sometimes some of these folks need to break away from their leadership and do the right thing. Because unfortunately, we've got too many folks that are just following blindly and doing what they're told to do in fear of losing committee assignments and things like that. And we can't have that. We've got too many problems in this state, too many problems in the county and the city where we can't afford to let that happen too much longer.
Talking about local government, and it should be perhaps more of a collaborative rather than a versus sort of situation when it comes to state and other governments. Part of our discussion going on here this morning on WFSU-FM's Perspectives. 414-1234 is the number to call if you want to talk to Bill Montford, Gil Ziffer, or Brian Deloge. And we'll be awaiting your call eagerly right after this break. We are back on Perspectives. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're talking about local government autonomy and its interesting relationship with state governments, not just in Florida, but elsewhere right now. And that yin and yang of who is in charge of what and how all of this should integrate together. With our special guests, State Senator for District 3, Bill Montford, Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, and Leon County Commissioner Brian Deloge. And we're joined by Jared on line one. Hey, Jared, welcome to Perspectives.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
My question is, how do we eliminate some of the how do we eliminate some of the collusion between collusion and how do we eliminate the I'm off for words right now, but the corruption in local government? For instance, I know there's hierarchies such as county commissioners, board of directors, and when a commissioner wants something done, the board will seek ways to get that objective done, whether it's for reasons of re-election and stuff like that. So in total, how do we increase the efficiency at which this local government operates by reducing the corruption and, you know, what the objectives higher officials are trying to achieve.
Okay. Well, Jared, just before, while you're still hanging on there, if you could clarify exactly, like you said, a county commissioner wants something done and approaches what, the other members of the Board of County Commissioners or some outside entity, or exactly what?
Exactly. Like they'll approach like a board of directors and say, you know, let's say I'm up for re-election this year, so, you know, we should install a park right here so that We're inducing good public relations with the community. You know, my name is behind this park that's being introduced. And so how do we achieve, how do we eliminate that so that funds and time is better allocated for, you know, purposes of increasing employment, reducing hunger, and things of that nature?
Okay, fine. We can go around the table and talk about that then. But Commissioner DeLoge, just when it comes to your relationship with, say, other private sector or developers, whatever, how is that structured so that you don't have that pay-for-play kind of thingy going on there?
Well, I'd start with the idea that it's part of our job to know what the needs of our particular areas and our and I use District 4, which is my district. We don't have any parks in District 4, okay? Let's just start with that. We are one of the most affluent sections in Leon County, 67 county city and county parks. We've got one and out of five districts. So, you know, there is a need, using his example, and I would fight valiantly, and I have, and we've got some property set aside. But there's seven commissioners, and Florida has very strict sunshine laws and guidelines as far as what we are and are not allowed to do. So, and I will go talk to a Rotary or a corporation or an entity and say, we would love to have a park here. I'd love your support for that. But I've got to figure out how to run the gauntlet and get three other votes and make it to four, in my case, out of seven. But we need I'll turn this back around. We need people to get a little bit more engaged. I may get some pushback from everybody else. We need the people that show up and question the way we do things. And if somebody thinks that something's been done inappropriately, I want to hear from them. That's really not the way it's supposed to get done. And to you know, broad brush everybody and say it's happening across the board is a bit of a overstep. I mean, it happens, and it happens in every line of work. But I think we do a pretty good job here locally of being very transparent. And the sunshine lose.
If I may, from a historical perspective, and I don't want to go too many years back, but in the early 80s, when I was elected to the Leon County Commission, this community did not have a library. Well, I take that back. We had one. It was in the basement of the Northwood Mall, and this is the capital city of Florida. So an effort was made by local people, Paula Smith and others locally, got together and said, we need this community needs a library. And so there was quite a bit of discussion about, well, where would it be located? And some said, well, we need to put it north of I-10. That's where the center of the population would be 25 years from now, and here we are. But the final decision, and I'll get to the point here, was that we would have the main library located downtown, which is on Park Avenue, and then five branches located throughout the community so that everybody would have access, which I believe was a good, sound decision at the time. Quite frankly, though, some people began to use that as politically and said, well, they're just all taking care of themselves, even though, you know, at that time there were five county commissioners, and they said, well, they're just putting one in each county commission is a district for political reasons, which was certainly not the case. It was an attempt to have a main library downtown and then make sure that all citizens would have access to a branch. And it worked, and it's working well today. But so sometimes we look at things and come to the wrong conclusion.
Okay, Commissioner Ziffer. Yeah.
So there are five on the city commission, four commissioners and the mayor. We're citywide. So we don't have districts. We need to serve and listen to and visit and have a better understanding what the needs are of the whole community. So the concept of us doing something special for here or there, that's foreign to me. I have not seen that, at least in the 8 years that I've been on mine. I think, as the senator said, there's always opportunity for criticism. I mean, somebody's always going to have a problem with something. And unfortunately, we have to make hard decisions, and not everybody's going to love us for the decisions that we make. Because as you know, Brian said, unfortunately, he doesn't have enough parks in the Northeast. But we have other parts of our city that unfortunately don't have the wherewithal to have some of the experiences that some folks in the Northeast have. And so we tend to do more community centers and parks there. It's a balance. We're trying to do the best we can. But as far as electing the right people, what Brian said a few minutes ago, pay attention, listen to the issues, go to forums, ask questions, call us up. meet us for coffee. I mean, I think you'll find us that we're pretty available. And then make an intelligent decision, and hopefully you make the right decision, and we'll have good people in local office.
Well, we have Bruce, who is following up exactly on what you said, Commissioner, on line two. Hey, Bruce, thanks for calling.
Welcome. My name's Bruce Dieterding. I'm from here in Tallahassee, and I heard Senator Monford talking earlier about some of the obstacles to running, and mostly it sounds like he felt like they were that it was a stigma to run for office or to be a politician. And while I certainly agree that's true, I think there are a lot of other things that are bigger obstacles, even for motivated people. That being the money, that's an extravagant amount of money and time. And you talk about, going into this other field with your family and all the other sacrifices you have to make. And there are term limits on offices, just all of these obstacles, that have been built in the law in the last 20 years.
Well, Bruce, before I let you go, I got to ask you, how's the rehabilitation of Little Lake Jackson doing?
Well, it hasn't really progressed beyond the point you saw it, other than mostly the debris was removed to another site, to the county approved site. But it looks good from my side. I wish I could do more.
Well, thank you. I'll bring these guys up to speed on our little excursion that we had there a couple months back. Thanks so much for calling, Bruce.
Bruce, this is Bill Munford. If I may add that you mentioned money, and that was a point that I was going to make but didn't. That is one of the biggest obstacles we have, not just at the local level, but state and nationally as well. If you look at the amount of dollars that it takes to run for office, the question is, why in the world would somebody, like for the Florida legislature, our salary, I think, is $29,000. It's almost embarrassing for me to say I spent almost, not through contributions, I spent a little less than $500,000 to get elected. And yes, why are we doing this? I mean, how can, on one hand, we're saying we need more bright young people to run for office. Well, how in the world can those bright young people afford to run for office? I mean, unless you have contacts out there that you can raise that kind of money. Media is expensive. It's just, in my case, I have 11 counties, which are two media markets, 15 newspapers. So if you look at it, Just to let people know you're running is a lot of money. So somehow we've and local and national and state, we've got to get our arms around this whole campaign financing issue.
Well, and is that the corrupting influence then? Because you got to sell out to someone, it is perceived by the public, in order to run for office. Because I think Commissioner Ziffer is what Andrew Gillum spent close to $250,000 on his last campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, for mayor of Tallahassee.
When you're doing fundraising, now the city now, because the charter amendment passed a few years ago, we're limited to $250 per entity per contribution. And that's very different than where I was when I started 8 years ago. But, once again, it's getting to know your candidates, because if the people that are giving money to you recognize that what that donation to your campaign is to support what they perceive as good government or somebody that's going to be good for the government, and that's all they get, then that's the signal that all of us – and I'm looking at my colleagues here. That's what we send out, because as long as we're doing that, I can feel comfortable and go to sleep not knowing that my votes are good because I'm doing the right thing, which I think is right for all the citizens of Tallahassee. You just, once again, elect good people and you have good government.
Yeah, it's certainly blood sport and it's full contact. There's no doubt. And it's certainly not for the faint of heart. But there are a bunch of interim steps that the young, bright, interested people can take, which are somehow serving on committees, somehow serving in and getting engaged. And what that does is starts to working on campaigns. It opens doors and allows them to build a network, understand the system. And, you see some very young people that get into office early, and that's great. But you're right. The caller was spot on. Money drives too much of this.
Yes, but we also have seen the change over time when folks like Senator Monford – county commission, school superintendent, all of this. We came from a farm club situation where folks would serve at the local level, work their way up. They'd get in the state legislature, then maybe go to Congress, then at least to have an idea of how to govern, how to work out compromise with people who didn't feel the same way that they thought, and then would ascend to much higher levels in politics. Now you have folks who at the state and sometimes even the national level come right in. They've never done anything like this before, and they're in a position of power. And sometimes that shows.
And to expand on the money, so assume that you can raise enough money and you can gain enough exposure and you get elected. Senator, you said you pay $29,000 a year. Now, you're here in Tallahassee, so it's a little easier for you. But from somebody from other parts of the state, it's got to come up here and spend 2+ months, maybe more, here in Tallahassee, not to mention all their time at home in their office and the meetings and the legislative delegation and events and all those other things. That's time that's getting paid at probably like about $1 an hour probably that you average out to that. Once you get in, and if you're like a city commissioner, county commissioner, you have all these meetings to go to. There aren't a whole lot of employers that would be that open to have an employee that's gone half the week or has to leave work early to do this and that. So it's very difficult. I mean, I'm looking at our age. We're all over 50. I don't know how a young person without some degree of wealth or support can serve in public office and pay their bills. It's hard.
Certainly on the state level.
Yeah, I'm 60, and I've had a company, and fortunately we've done okay over those years, and I'm able to put all that time in. Plus, I'm my own boss, but I don't know how some people do it.
Well, game plan here for the upcoming legislative session, which is January and February, because 2018 is an election year, and everyone wants to get out of town and start. Guess what? Raising money. I don't know how that works. So, how do Commissioner Ziffer, Deloge, Senator Montford? When you guys talk about staying in your own lane, or let's try to define what those lanes may be in the upcoming legislative session, when there's likely to be more brickbats thrown at local government saying Tallahassee knows best, what do you do from county commissioner?
Well, we're lucky here being in the state capitol. I can walk across the street and catch up with Senator Montford, and I see him on a regular basis. And so I think we are probably not the norm. But to Commissioner Ziffer's comment earlier, yeah, most people are scattered around and they meet with their legislative delegation once or twice during the quarter or whatever. My solution would be we need to have, like we said earlier, these kind of discussions on a more regular basis so that if legislation is being proposed, you know what the impact and the fallout is. And it doesn't mean we agree on everything and vice versa. If they think we're doing something that maybe runs a little bit amok. But, you know, you need to work hand in hand, peer to peer. You don't need to work in a parent-child kind of scenario, which is unfortunately the way a lot of local governments get treated too often, which is, as was said earlier, we know better. And, you know, it's I liken it to driving a car at the local level. You know, you got brakes and gas and a steering wheel. And so it seems like over time, we're going to take your emergency brake. All right, I can get by without that. Well, we're going to take part of your – oh, wait a minute. And it's little by little, I might as well just hand the keys of the car over to the state legislature and just, you know, let it ride itself because I don't have the ability to either raise taxes, which I'd get, you know, potentially thrown at office if that would happen, or decrease expenses because those things get taken out of our ability to do. But it's a partnership. It's not a one versus the other.
Your take, Commissioner Ziffer.
We've got as president of the league, my effort is getting my colleagues from around the state. We've got 412 cities and all those commissioners that are elected, all those to do a lot more events and conversations with their local legislators, whether it's a House member or a Senate member. Go sit down with them, meet with their staff, develop those relationships because we need to make it very clear to them that we're going to be more involved this legislative session to make sure that home rule and our ability to maintain local control, which is important because we're satisfying the needs of our citizens. They came there for a reason. We're democracy at its very basic level. We're making sure they hear that. And we think we'll have a good session as a result. It's not going to be easy, but with folks like Senator Montford who listen we're going to do the same listening back.
At least to your Senate colleagues, you think you got a chance there?
Oh, I think so. Here, let me make a couple of points. One is we need to – everybody needs to realize we're already in committee meetings now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're rolling. And decisions are made in committee meetings. Those really are where decisions are made. Now, we go to the floor, but that ball is rolling. And so no one needs to wait until January to get involved. I mean, we're already meeting. And then a couple of things I think we need in the legislative level need to be aware of, and that's something that hasn't been mentioned, and that's the unfunded mandates that we pass. As a school superintendent and as a county commissioner many years ago, I was on the receiving end of those unfunded mandates, and we're continuing to do that. The question that I ask a lot of times in committee meetings is, who's going to pay for this? I mean, who are we passing this on? And if we're passing this cost on to local governments, then we need to say, this is what it's going to cost, and we're expecting you guys to pay for it. And I think it, too, from a very general standpoint, I think if the legislation could be more, let's say, assistive rather than directive, but that goes back to the point where we've got to be able to work together. I tell school superintendents from across the state, we'd love for you to come to Tallahassee, but you can get a whole lot more done if you meet with your local delegation at home on your turf. That's where that's where the influence needs to be, because when we meet in Tallahassee in committee meeting, we're rolling.
That's, and we are rolling here. Senator Bill Monford, City of Tallahassee Commissioner Gil Ziffer, and Leon County Commissioner Brian DeLoach, thanks for coming in and talking.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Assistance for WFSU's Perspectives from Evan Rossi and Lytle Rawls today. I'm Tom Flanagan. You know, after years of declining product and revenues, the Gulf seafood industry is undergoing a revival. So bring a hearty appetite. Join us next week for Perspectives right here on WFSU-FM.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.